Ja, mein Name ist Christian Kreuz. Ich freue mich, dass trotz der späten Stunde noch so viele erschienen sind. Ich habe eine hoffentlich ganz spannende Präsentation für euch. Ich verspreche, es werden auch wenig Wörter und mehr Bilder und Karten sein. Bevor ich starte, wollte ich mal ein bisschen rumfragen, wie weit ihr was mit Mapping und Karten zu tun habt. Wie viele von euch nutzen Karten täglich oder häufig im Internet? Ganz ordentlich. Wie viele haben selbst Karten in ihre Internetseiten, Blogs eingebaut? Wow, auch viele. Und wie viele sind selbst Mapper oder vielleicht sogar so Geo-Experts? Uiuiui, okay. Sehr schön, sehr schön. Okay, ich bin Politikwissenschaftler und ich bin, das muss ich gleich zugeben, Frankfurter. I made a huge mistake. I speak in German. I'm sorry, I have to change. Why didn't you say anything? Okay. I just asked around some questions about mapping, and I'm not going to repeat that, but I'm sorry. Okay, I speak now from now on in English. Okay, I have to admit, I'm from Frankfurt. Frankfurt is famous for the apple wine, which is the rest of Germany hates, but that for this. I work in development aid for the past 6 years. I worked for a German technical corporation, GTZ, and work for different, now as an independent, for different organizations. And I lived 3 years in Egypt, and Egypt is very interesting because most, I would say, the most innovative digital activists come from Egypt, not only, but they're really amazing activists there in Egypt. And also, I worked there in different projects, and I got to know very much the difficulty and challenges in these countries, especially because there are not as many data and not as many maps and overviews and possible information available as it is in Germany. And I will come later to that. Thirdly, I'm a knowledge activist, or in this regard, I joined this wonderful book project from the editor Sokari Enkine. She's also here in the audience. And I wrote a chapter about it, and I really like that project, so I have to promote it here a bit. Okay, I have to say, I'm not a geographic information expert. I very much autodidactically went into this topic, and I love it because it is so much straightforward and everybody can go into it. That's, I have to say that right from the start. So I might make mistakes, it's very possible. But I'm a mapper. I'll come to that later on when I present a bit about OpenStreetMap. I'm one of these guys who run around with GPS, either with the iPhone or something else, and look at buildings and document things and streets and construct maps. It's a fantastic thing to do. I can recommend it to everybody. So let's get going. I stole that sentence, a map is worth 1,000 words, because I think that is really the most interesting aspect about it, that it is so much about visualization and so much about reducing complexity. And I have a nice example. It's not a digital map. It's the map of the World Anti-Spanking League. Spanking, you know? Child knows. It's fantastic. One, look at it, and you can understand it. You will see right away there don't seem to be many members. We have Scandinavia, we have Germany, and down there we have Chile. So why maps? Why are maps so interesting? I mean, there are very different opinions about it and very different things. I just want to summarize four about them. I think they give orientation. They're very different of text, reading, and trying to make sense out of it. They're quite more concrete and give you an orientation on things. They reduce, as I said before, complexity. We are dealing with more and more data now. We have more and more data available. And maps are fantastic to visualize challenges, problems, different causes. They can represent very different perspectives on issues. They don't have to, but they can. I come later to that. And that helps, I think, very much to, again, present complex issues. And I think they bring things in context. They show how much I'm interested by it, or how much I be part of the problem, or not the problem, or neighborhood is part of the problem. I will show that in different examples. So let's go into some first mapping examples. I mean, you have seen probably many, but I tried to choose some interesting ones. This one is Mundraub. It's a wonderful map project, I find, about theft, petty theft. It's a project where they map fields across Germany for, let's say, stealing or getting fruits and vegetables. A very nice initiative, I find. Another completely different one is the toilet radar. It's New York City. It's the idea to,
collect different possible locations for toilets. And there's also a rating system, so the public library has only 3 stars. I don't know whether it has the toilet paper or not. But of course, it's not new. I mean, maps have always been used for different kinds of activism or different kinds of politics, all kinds of different means. And I want to present you one example. It's very famous, you might know it. There's a wonderful Wikipedia page about it. And that's John Snow's discovery. It's back in 1854. There was a cholera disease, and it wasn't really clear where does this cholera come from, or let's say, how does it spread within the city. It was thought that it was about bad air, but it was really unclear, and John Snow wanted to find it out, so he analyzed it more in depth, and he walked around the different households and made interviews. And that's the map he drew from this interviews he did. And through it, he found out that basically the cholera spreads among water pumps, so it was very much about water contamination. So I think it's a very impressive example how maps can be used. This is the typical kind of way you're probably used to maps. Paper maps, very normal, handy in your hand, you can look at it. This is from San Francisco. Now, this is also San Francisco. There's a digital map, and it's about a campaign for same-sex marriages. But here, quite controversial, I'll come later onto that once again, it shows the people who donate against the same-sex marriage law. So it shows exactly in which street different people live and how much they donate to it. So you see here Mr. Puyan Kwok, how much he donated. I'll come later to that. I mean, the privacy issue is a huge dimension here, of course. But I mean, I remember last year Mary Joyce was here from Digital Actors, and she said, like, I think privacy is very different dealt with in Germany and here in the US, you know, and so I think it is very different, of course. But maps can be done from everybody. Maps don't have to be digital. They can be very, very different. This is one wonderful example, the Stockport emotion map, where Christian Nolte basically drew this experience. The Stockport is in the UK, where he walked around the city. It's kind of a diary. And you can see in the far left, me drunk, lost Freddy, and he made his way around. Now I make a bit of a jump. I want to, before I come to maptivism and to different examples, I want to describe the different dimensions of getting these maps together and to make it such a campaign. And I want to describe it back again in developing countries, and I called it No Maps Land. This is one of the biggest slums or informal areas in Kenya, Nairobi. It's called Kibera. And there's a wonderful project going on through the Open Street Map Initiative. OpenStreetMap, to explain it for those who don't know it, it's like Wikipedia, but not for content, basically. It is for a map, for a free, open, available map in the world, and with thousands available volunteers who contribute to it. And this initiative is about this informal area in Kibera. And what they did the past half year, they made a project down there in the slum, in the informal area, and engaged the people from this area and asked them to map their own area, to map it and show what's it all about. But not only about streets, it's about hospitals, the health places, bars, cemeteries, all kind of places, and it's going to be just the start. They're going to continue mapping it. And it's very important, I will come to it later on. I think maps are nothing, very little without data. And the wonderful thing about OpenStreetMap is that it doesn't just put the usual things into maps. It can go in all directions. Like, it's open to everybody to map all kinds of different things. And an interesting jump to Google, this is what Google has offered from this informal area. Nothing. I don't want to criticize them because Google is one of the few companies who've done a lot in Africa. They have done a very interesting engagement, but you can see open approach and the commercial interest, so that's very different. What OpenStreetMap also has done recently, or a very nice initiative worldwide of volunteers, is during the Haiti earthquake. This is the map before the earthquake. You can see there's basically almost nothing, just a few streets. I think it's very bright. You don't see at least little streets. And after the earthquake happened, lots of volunteers came together. There were crisis camps called. They were in London and different places all the world. And they tried to volunteer to make the map much better. And the outcome is this map. And it is the best map available for Haiti. No other map is this good, this precise. It was very important for disaster response, for emergency, to have such a map to react to many causes. Ushahidi played a very important role that, as a disaster alert as well. And just to mention, did you know that the best country of OpenStreetMaps covered is Germany? They're the most volunteers in this country. It's quite interesting. Okay, let's continue the travel to other means and possibilities to go into mapping and to get an overview. You might think of, what the heck is that now? It's an equipment for a kite, Drachen, to put that with gas to get basically high altitude photos, spatial images. And Jeffrey Warren is doing that, and it's a very nice project. It's called Grassroots Mapping. And what he did, he went to Informalaria Slum in Peru, and out of these kites, he got these kind of photos. Not he, again, it was those people who lived there actually did it. It's very, very important. It gives a very strong empowerment to the people to have a map from their area and to discuss things, planning, politics. It's very important to have such maps. Another very nice mean, I think, is crowdsourcing. You can call it very different means. I just call it crowdsourcing in this regard to get the data for such campaigns. And now I jump back to Germany. I saw this recent example, which I think is very, very nice. It's called Wheelmap.org, and it's by the Sozialhelden. And I think it's a fantastic project where they basically want people to contribute to a barrier-free map of Germany, meaning putting in locations where there is barrier-free access, like cafes and bars, or where it's not. And I think this is what I come also later on, is that there's a great potential that everybody's contributing to such maps. That's an example you might know from the UK. It's very famous, Fix My Street. But it's again this dimension that it opens such an initiative to citizen. So what it is about is that a citizen can complain about issues such as a hole in a street or there's trash and things like that. They can put it on the website and they can also use their mobile phone to document that issue. And the nice thing is it's automatically uploaded to, or it's once it's uploaded to the website, it's being shown on the map and there's an email directly going automatically to the public institution responsible. And they show exactly which institution has reacted, which not, how fast, and things like that. Of course, the mobile phone plays an increasing role in that. And this is also a crowdsourcing project. It's driven by the Ushahidi technology. And here it is in Africa, where there are laws that pharmacies and hospitals are obliged to have a certain stock of medicine. But they don't necessarily have that. And this is an effort or an initiative to show transparently where there are not these stocks and where they are. So people can, with their own pharmacy and the stocks are, or the medicine is not available, can put that to their mobile phone and it's been sent via SMS to the map and it's been transparently shown. I think it's a very interesting project and it is has many other means to show such, to use it for different other kind of projects. Am I too fast? Everything okay? Yeah. So now I come to this topic of open source intelligence. I find it very interesting, although the title, or as I understand it or researched it, the concept was funnily first coined by US military, kind of their efforts to not only use their secret, or let's say their central intelligence, their secret information, but really trying to get more use out of the open or publicly available information. I think it is very important in time that the citizens themselves use a lot more of this public information. And this is the whole day we talked about open government and open data, you know, that citizens themselves take the approach and try to make more out of this available data. And a funny example, for instance, is by Floating Sheep. They took the Google location from the bars all over the US, and that they calculated out of this the beer belly of America. So they show where are the most bars? It's kind of funny. Of course, it's not very accurate, but I thought it's quite a good example. So, and data is this especially interesting because it contains, that is an estimate, about 80% your reference information. So we can use a lot of that data available for maps or for different kind of geo services. And a nice example recently made, I don't know whether Stefan Wehrmeier is here. Ah, yeah, here you are, wonderful. Is this magnificent example from Berlin. I hope I explain it now the right way. You can see there's a shadow map, and there's kind of a shadow over the map, and there's a kind of clear area in the middle of the map. And what it says is basically he took public transport data from Berlin, and you can see in that location in the middle in the balloon or wherever you live and what you type in, you can see what you can reach in within 15 minutes with public transport. It's not like a circle, it has different dots, and you basically, if you move somewhere to a new area, you can directly or very easily see what you can reach within 15 minutes for public transport. Again, it's an example which you can extend to many other topics. So, I said it many times before, but we need more open data, and I think this day it was very often discussed. I found it very interesting, there was this discussion before with the representative of the Ministry of Internal Affairs, and she said, when she was asked to do more in this arena, she said, yeah, but the Enquete Commission is now there in place, and they're going to have a midterm report in 2011, and they're going to have a full report in 2012. So we're basically going to wait that for that. And I think this is the dilemma. I think we really have to ourselves put this data more and more together, or force them or pressure them to put it out. And one such way is open address, almost like OpenStreetMap. It's the same idea that you gather different kind of geodata. You wonder why should we do that, or isn't that available? I can tell you, no, it's not available. It's extremely difficult. If you do such applications, it is very difficult to get such data. I'll later present you Frankfurt Gestalten, which is one of my projects, to get a street register or street of Frankfurt, just a list of the streets in a file which I can use. It's impossible. I can't get it. It was a PDF file, which was a nightmare to get all the data out of it. It's really, really difficult. It's not available. And I requested the office in Frankfurt, and they said, me, sure, we can get it. This will cost this and this and this. And you cannot use it on the internet. There are a lot of tools, and I just want to show you two tools where you can yourself start experimenting with it. That's very important. It's not difficult. Mixing maps and data is quite easy if you want to experiment with it. And GeoCommons is one such initiative. It's very nice. It has a lot of data available, but you can upload any Excel spreadsheet, whatever you want, and you can start yourself. It sounds a bit geeky, I know, but it's quite easy. And I mean, most of you probably have to deal with Excel spreadsheets anyway. Another one is Google Fusion, which is very powerful. You can really upload huge, massive amounts of data, and you can make heat maps, for instance, in all kinds of nice visualizations. Of course, with both, it's always important. It's your data. Be careful what you upload, of course. So let's come to maptivism, maps and activism. This is a nice project. From New York City, from the New York City Civil Liberty Union. Now I got it right. And it's about camera, about surveillance. So what they did, they mapped all the cameras around New York. So because actually it's funny, one activist put another map out. There's one way left in New York which you can walk where you're not filmed. So this is the last he mapped it out. So that's the only way you can walk to Manhattan. Not New York, Manhattan, I'm sorry. Another nice example, again, where I think we can quickly, with one look, or quite good, understand this issue. It's by the West African Trade Hub from USAID. They did a map about trading routes in Western Africa. And trade is extremely difficult. By sea to the seaport, no problem. But once it goes into the country, you will have tons of obstacles. And you can see worst, and there are all kinds of barriers and all kinds of stops for bribes and everything. And I think this map very clearly presents the problem very nicely. Another issue, another very nice example is this from the Cedar Grove Institute for Sustainable Communities. And here what happened is that there was always a suspicion that there was that the water was unequally distributed in the city, but it wasn't really clear, was it or not? You know, it was like some people said it, some not. So this institute, they went around and made interviews in different households asking about the water situation. And out of these information, they put the map together. And you can see, I hope, is it visible for you, that basically the water pipeline is between racial lines. You know, Afro-Americans basically have no access or very little access, and white Americans have the access. And I think it's also, this triggered the change in this community. This map was the key of pushing forward this issue and the problem and make the change possible. Okay, now I come to the project I'm doing for the past months. This is Frankfurt Gestalten. What we did here basically is that we used the data available from local commodities, Ortsbeiräte. They discussing in each district all kinds of political topics. It's not big politics, it's about the pedestrian walk, it's about trash bins, it's about a new tree and all these things. But the thing is, it's something local. I think it's something what matters to people a lot because it's in their area. It's this hyper-local kind of approach, which you have a lot in the UK, but very few here. And we read it out, so you have a map there, and you also have a street directory. The idea is that you basically can easily zoom down or come to your street, and you can see what happens in my neighborhood, what's going on, what's discussed. They have it available right now, the city, but it is a huge database, very complicated to access. And here you can get an email subscription, so you quickly can subscribe to it and get informed the minute something happens in your area.
Is this open source? Or?
What is open? What do you mean?
It looks like you could apply this to every city in Germany, but it looks so commonly usable.
The platform is Drupal, which is an open source platform.
One step beyond your software, do you think they
are? What do you mean exactly? The difficulty is, of course, if the city or if in these initiatives they would provide data which is very easy to digest, then you can easily put it in every city. The problem is every city has a complete different website, a complete different way of presenting their data. That is the most tricky thing, and that makes the most work. But the funny thing is, when we were finished with it after months, I now got the information from somebody who knows the company who did it, and they said, oh yeah, we have RSS feed and XML, but we just don't turn it on. You might know RSS XML means that this kind of data you can really, this is raw data you can really use easily, you know, because it is specified. Whereas now it has HTML and PDF, and it's very difficult to read that out and to make sense out of it. But we didn't want to leave it like that. What we did is, want citizens to themselves put in initiatives. It's very experimental. We don't know where this is going to go to. But here you see one initiative from Richard, and he just basically wants a pedestrian walk in Rödelheimer Landstraße. And he's also referring to an already the special kind of Vorlage or document where this was discussed, and he wonders why this is not changed. And what we offer there is also that people can use a map and can draw in their initiative, so they can exactly pinpoint where they want to have it and how they want to have it. And we hope that this will trigger engagement, that we hope that we don't give the information, but we also help the people network with each other. They find each other for different topics. And after, let's say, now 2 months, it's quite nice that we have some initiatives. It goes slow because, of course, it's a local area only. And the thing is, just like as you might know from the internet studies, there are just not so many people online, and there are not so many people expecting something like this in the internet in Germany. It's just a slower development, absolutely, compared to other countries like the UK or the States. So let's sum it up. Why I find, I think maps and maptivism and these possibilities of visualization, why they are so interesting, is because it's recognition. I can recognize, oh, that's the place I'm talking about. That's concrete. It's something like, it's going to be different than reading a text. A feeling of connection, it's around the corner, like in the last example, you know, it really means something to me, or it matters to me, or it should matter to me. And it's connecting the dots, the topics and complex issues. I didn't put in many examples now, not really examples of layers and complex geo things. There's a lot of wonderful thing out there where you have different kind of layers, and you can basically, you can look at the political side of an issue, and you can look at the environmental side or the economic side. I think there's a lot happening, and there's going to be very interesting stuff. And of course, it's I hope we trigger, and I hope that these maps then they trigger engagement. That really has to be changed, and that these are helpful in this regard. And in the future, I put this slide up from Andrew Turner, which I like very much. It's a bit funny. It's basically RSS feed icons all over the place. But what I want to say with it, I mean, augmented reality was already discussed. The idea that you walk around with your mobile phone and you're pinpointed on a building and you get the information, nice for tourists. But imagine you have consumer interest data there. So you go to the streets and you look at, pinpoint your mobile phone at the supermarket, and it will be not telling you the products, but it might tell you, oh, this supermarket is still selling the boycotted products, which all the other supermarkets don't buy sell. Or you look at the company, and you look, they haven't accepted or haven't reacted yet to the complaints of social protection of labor in China. So I think there is going to be very interesting stuff available, that you basically don't have to go to the internet. It's with your mobile phone. You can see an information and the different causes around you. But will it all be good? I mean, I was very enthusiastic and very positive, so I have to say some difficulties and some challenges, of course. The big thing we had, I think, with the San Francisco example is privacy. I mean, getting a lot of data, you have to be very careful. I mean, what kind of data you use in your campaigns and how much to make it public. I mean, there's a lot of data which you better not make public, and there's a huge discussion about Google Street View showing these photos about maps. The interesting thing is that, I don't know whether you know, but this discussion is only in Germany, nowhere else. So it's really interesting, but it's also a bit frightening that it's not discussed as much in other countries, probably. Propaganda. Since maps are there, there is propaganda. Maps doesn't mean that you are necessarily transparent or objective. They are perfectly wonderful to just describe one of your thoughts or one interest. Special borders are a wonderful example. Borders are just shown in the interest of one country, but not in the other one. There are good examples of community mapping, but that is, of course, very fast into conflict and quite tricky to use then in these regards maps. Discrimination. There's this tool, it's called Antisocial Barometer. I don't know, it's one of the most top iPhone apps in the UK. And what it does, technically, I find it technically very interesting, but what it does is that it took information out of the Open Data Initiative in the UK, such as crime rates and other kind of indicators of an area, what the situation is there like. And it gives a percentage. So I'm let's say, somewhere in London, and I can see, okay, the percentage of antisocial is 60% here. So, and then you go to another area and it's 40%. It's super famous, it's 100,000, I think 200, 300,000 people have downloaded it. So, but I think it's tricky, it's difficult, because it shows, I mean, what did it tell me? I mean, if I'm 40%, I'm calm, and by 60 I start running? I don't know, so there are really side effects. And of course, very, very important thing is attention. You can make the most fantastic maps and the most wonderful argument, but you need the attention, you need an audience to make it, to make something happen. And I was in the farm subsidy session. I found they said it too. It's interesting. They offer fantastic data. And I said very openly, they're frustrated that the data is less used. But once they pile it up and they put a summary and a press release out, suddenly people react and they want to put it into press. But the data itself, or maybe the map itself, doesn't trigger that kind of reaction. Okay, that was it. Thank you very much. Questions? Yes, please.
Wondered or had the association when you said 80% of the data in the internet is
Yeah, there is a lot happening. I mean, the question was about whether there are tools to get to extract geolocation data out of geo reference information out of data. There are a lot of tools, and they're getting better and better. But I still think there are no magic tools. There's still a lot of work involved, really. I find that's the problem. But the more open data and raw material you have, the chances are higher. But I think like Yahoo and Google, they offer quite impressive tools, definitely. Other questions?
One space we, I don't think we've done a good job of mapping so far are the legal relationships underpinning that society. So every company is a legally registered entity in some country. And obviously there's parent companies and subsidiary companies spanning many countries. And we just don't have any maps of this space. Yet so much of our lives is actually governed by the relationships in this virtual space of the legal system. So if anyone has seen maps of companies and how they relate to each other, I think it'd be really interesting to hear about them or to actually start building them, because this is a space we haven't really explored as much as we have the physical space.
Yes, nice point, definitely.
I just want to draw attention that tomorrow is the Open Data Hack Day, and we will have geodata of Berlin there, and a lot of maps, really a lot of maps. And I hope I see some of you there, because we need the work, not only developers, but also journalists and people who can say, well, how to present the map in a way that is not discriminating and puts attention to the topic.
Weitere Fragen? Dann vielen Dank an Christian.
Ja, nur eine Sache. Ich habe also, ich werde die Präsentation rumgeben. Ich habe die ganzen Links auch aufgeschrieben. Ne?
Ja, vielen, vielen Dank, Christian. So, damit ist die WeCampaign, der offizielle Teil für heute, vorbei. Die Teilnehmer von der WeCampaign, die noch hier sind, sind gerne eingeladen, mit um 18 Uhr zum Supergut zu kommen, zum Open Dinner, wo wir zusammen ein bisschen Abendessen können, uns dann noch weiter kennenlernen können, uns miteinander austauschen können. Ansonsten guckt, was noch weiter hier ist. Ihr habt Zugang zur Republika. Wenn euch noch irgendwas anderes interessiert, guckt rein. Heute Abend ist hier noch Party. Und Christian, nochmal vielen Dank.